Porter, welcome back to the ICC Review. It's great, as always, to have you. Since the last time we spoke, what's been new in your life? We heard about your comeback to the pitches in India this past month, and then looked like you were making runs for fun. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, look, I was doing something that I didn't think was going to happen again, get out in the middle and play some games. You know, I feel very fortunate to be able to have the chance to be able to play in the Road Safety World Series, which was playing for Australia against other countries over the last few weeks, and now onto the Legends League cricket, which is just an incredible experience. It's been a lot of fun to sort of get, even in the lead up to the tournaments, starting to get out into the nets and do something that I know better than just about anything in my life, is how to hit a cricket ball and make the adjustments that I need. So it's great fun to be able to get out in the middle and play with some of my best mates that I had during my playing days within the Aussie squad was great fun. It was nice to be able to get a few out of the middle as well. So yeah, I never thought this day was going to come again after I retired in 2020. So to be able to have the chance of getting out in the middle again against some of the players that I really enjoyed playing against throughout my career, and also players that I loved, really enjoyed playing with as well, it's been a lot of fun. But a couple more games here in the Legends League to try and get through. My body's, it's always a challenge anyway during my playing days, but body's struggling a little bit now, but it's just great fun to get out in the middle.
Fantastic. We've been watching a few of the matches here at home, and it's like our childhood all over again, just watching everyone we watched growing up in action. It's been fantastic. But the biggest headline in cricket these past few days has been that Jasprit Bumrah's World Cup campaign is under a cloud. How much will him missing out affect India's chances, according to you?
Honestly, I think it's going to have a huge impact on India's chance of winning the T20 World Cup. He's one of the best bowlers in the world, and India in particular, they're fast bowlers. He is their main guy who can take wickets with a brand new ball, but also is an incredible defensive bowler as well at the back end of a game. So if Jasprit's not available to play in this T20 World Cup, then for me, India's chances really, they drop quite a bit. India have got incredible firepower with the bat all the way down, as we've seen for a long time. But the bowlers, the fast bowlers in particular, is always a bit of a question. And Bumrah's one of the best in the world. So, yeah, everyone's got their fingers crossed that he will be okay, because for me, there's no replacements. There's no replacement in the world for Jasprit, for the quality bowler that he is, let alone in Indian cricket. So it's going to be a bit more of a battle.
There is a maybe, maybe not situation at hand in the moment when you talk about Jasprit Bumrah, but in the worst case, who do you see replacing him in the India squad for the T20 World Cup? There's Deepak Chahar, Mohammad Siraj and Mohammad Shami as standby players.
Yeah, for me, the player that I would put in if Jasprit's not available is Mohammad Siraj. Because of the firepower that he presents, that's the one thing that the other bowlers with India don't necessarily have, that firepower on Australian wickets on the bigger grounds with a pace and bounce. Siraj is great with a brand new ball. He's fast. He swings the ball away. But also his defensive skills are pretty good as well. And he's got better over the last couple of years with what we're seeing in the IPL. So for me, he's probably the one who is going to have the most impact. Deepak Chahar, I've seen all too well at my time at CSK. He's a very skillful bowler. Australian conditions would suit him as well, with the ball sort of skipping through a bit more. But the question is always with Deepak Chahar, he hasn't bowled a lot at the back end, even though his skills are good. And I saw it playing with him at CSK. He can be a very good death bowler, but Siraj with that just extra bit of pace is, I think, what the Indian team needs.
And we're seeing a fair bit of cricket in the lead up to the T20 World Cup in Australia next month. But we're talking about Cameron Green, who's had a fantastic series against India just recently. Were you surprised that he was not included in the Australian side for the T20 World Cup?
No, I wasn't surprised that he wasn't included in the T20 World Cup squad for Australia, because he hasn't, up until this series against India, he hadn't played too much T20 cricket at all, even though everyone knows the skill this guy's got. He's got power hitting skill. He's also got great skills with the ball, but he hadn't played a lot of T20 cricket. And after the Australians played so incredibly well in the last T20 World Cup, I understand why he didn't get an opportunity in the squad. But there but there are a few people, I think, around Australia who are hoping that something might happen and he gets a chance to be able to come back into the squad, because the firepower that he had at the top of the order and his bowling, I just saw in the last game, in that third game his ability to be able to just, it's a challenge to be able to take him on because of his bounce and pace that he's got. You'd see even with Virat and Suryakumar going so well, finding it really hard to score off him. So yeah, it's not a surprise he's not in there, but there's no question that he is just he's something I've never really seen before, to be honest. And I knew this when I saw him in Test cricket and some One Day cricket as well, but he's got all the gears with batting and bowling. He's a great fielder as well. That, yeah, the world cricket's at his feet right now across all formats. So it's very special to be able to watch him anytime he goes into the middle.
From what we've seen of him against India and the hopes around Australia saying that he should be included in the squad. Now, squads are allowed to be changed till October 9th. Do you think Australia should include him in the side ahead of the World Cup?
The only time that I feel he should come into the squad is if someone gets injured or they don't recover from their injury. So Marcus Stoinis, if he doesn't recover fully from his injury, or Mitchell Marsh, for example, if they don't recover from their niggles that they've had in the lead up to this T20 World Cup, then absolutely be the first one pick. But yeah, the way the squad performed so well in the last T20 World Cup, there's no weak links. You have to give those players who were so dominant in the last T20 World Cup the first opportunity to be able to play in this World Cup at home. Look, it's unfortunate from Cam Green's perspective because he's certainly good enough to be able to get a chance to play in that Australian team. But I would definitely give the players who did such a great job in the last T20 World Cup the first opportunity and the opportunity to be able to play in this World Cup at home because there's no real weak links in that Aussie team. Yes, we saw a few exposed a little bit, the bowling more than anything in that last Indian series here in India, but in Australia, it's going to be a slightly different ball game with those bigger fields and that slight more pace and bounce in the wickets.
If the T20 World Cup final was being played this week and Australia found themselves in the final, would Aaron Finch make it to the best 11?
I hope so. More than anything, I hope so, because he is such an incredibly important part to this Australian team. Being the captain, he's been given the full support of the selectors and coach as well. So for me, yeah, everyone's got their fingers crossed that he's able to just, it's all able to click for him during this T20 World Cup, because one, he's just such an input. It's such an important role that he plays, opening the batting in that power play, and also as a leader, as a captain, making decisions under pressure. It's very important that there's no innuendo or sort of pressure around his position in the team. So, from an Australian point of view, I've got my fingers crossed that he will be fit and firing.
There are also some reports that Matthew Wade is on standby to be captain to Australia's T20 international side in case Aaron Finch is unavailable during the World Cup due to injury or form. What do you make of Matthew Wade taking up such an important role, or being the second man with that much responsibility?
Look, Matthew Wade hasn't had much experience as a captain, especially in big tournaments under pressure, decision-making under pressure. And that does concern me, because through my experiences of playing with great leaders in big tournaments, the more experienced captains are the ones who know just what the right decisions are at the right time and how to be able to control his troops at that, you know, during those pressure situations. So for me, it is a little concerning. I'm sure Matthew Wade would be able to do a decent job, but when you've got Steve Smith and Dave Warner, who are very experienced captains in pressure situations, in pressure games, that for me is that they're ready and waiting, especially in one-off games or in big games or for a tournament. I just think it's a waste having those guys who know how to make decisions and rally the troops at the right time in the biggest tournaments. So for me, it's a big waste if that's the case.
You spoke of David Warner. He's got a wealth of experience. What is your position on the CA? Should they ever sort of turn over that leadership ban on David Warner?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, you know, my position is absolutely Dave Warner and Steve Smith, but Dave Warner now, because he's still got that leadership ban on him, he served his time. He's paid much more than what he should have for what happened a number of years ago now. So for him not to have a chance to be able to captain Australia in the off chance that Aaron Finch isn't there, I think he's actually probably the best decision maker under pressure that Australia's got. So I continue to think it's absolutely ridiculous that leadership ban's still on him. Times change. Cricket Australia, those decisions were made back in 2017 by different decision makers at that moment in time. So they just need to accept that it was an unnecessarily harsh punishment to have a lifetime ban as a leader. Everyone makes mistakes. Times, you know, people moved on. He's paid gosh, he's paid for his mistakes and then some. We just need to get on with it.
And we saw some exciting cricket last week as the Indian women toured England. Did you happen to see the Charlie Dean run out by Deepti Sharma? What did you make of that incident?
Yes, it sort of come up in all my feeds, social media, and on all cricket websites that I check as well. Yeah, that was interesting. Certainly has caused a big stir in world cricket, and it's going to continue while this generation and the generations before us grew up believing what the spirit of cricket was. And for me, growing up in Australia, that's something that I never, ever, ever considered doing. And it just never sits, it just doesn't sit well with me. And I know a lot of cricketers and a lot of the general public doesn't sit that well with them as well. So, but you know, the rules and the laws are now that you can do it, and Deepti Sharma did it. But for me, it just leaves it's legal now, but it just leaves a bit of a sour taste in your mouth. My question's always around, like, well, why wasn't it done at the start of the game or through the middle of the game? Why is it always done in a pressure situation where the game's on the line or someone's dominating, like in the IPL, with Joss Butler and Ravi Ashwin? Why is it when someone's dominating or the game's on the line that someone has to revert to that? So that's my opinion. And I know there's a lot of other people who have grown up and that's what their belief is as well. But in the end, the rules are and the laws are what they are. And you can if you want to, but it just doesn't sit that well with me.
Speaking about the current generation of cricketers and the ones to come, it is well within the rules. There has been a huge cry about it not being within the spirit of cricket. But do you think that we should somewhere just keep our emotions aside and just treat it as a legal way of running out the non-striker?
Human beings in general are emotional. So it's going to be hard to be able to take that emotion away when you see something that just doesn't feel right. So I think while this generation of human beings are around and they know sort of what they grew up with and what they've seen in the past, I think those emotions are always going to run wild a little bit when something like that does happen in the game of cricket. Again, it is totally legal, and everyone can interpret the laws as they do. But again, for me, it just, I don't know, it's... For me, it was always, if someone was really non-striker, was really trying to take off and gain some advantage by taking off too early, then what I was always taught was you've got to warn the batsman, and you've got to warn them. And even if you just don't bowl the ball until the batsman actually stays in their crease, but to actually resort to actually running out the batsman at the non-striker's end like that, then again, that's just not what I grew up with. And it's going to take... I think it's probably going to take a generation of cricketers to sort of just get their head around it. This is the rule, and it is fully legal. And well, now they're saying it is in the spirit of the game. So we're just going to have to get used to it, I think.
What do you make of the concept that a 5-run penalty is imposed on the team, on the non-striker who's trying to steal yards instead of a wicket?
That person would sit more comfortably with me, especially if there was one warning, the bowler's about to bowl a ball and the non-striker's just taking off. And there's one warning to go, look, just... stop, you can't do that. If you're going to do that, then, and the umpire warns the batter that you do that again, then it's a 5-run penalty. For me, that sits more comfortably because the batting team does cop a penalty for it, for trying to take advantage of that. And then you won't have to worry about as much of the real controversy and the just unease that you get when you watch a run out from the non-strikers like we have. So that for me would sit more comfortably, but I don't make the laws, so it seems like that's the way it's going to go. So again, we're going to have to get used to it.
Sounds like a nice middle ground. There is a penalty, but it's not, you're not losing a wicket. But through your playing career, was it ever discussed in the dressing room, or have you, I know how you feel about it, but did you ever maybe consider dismissing someone like that?
No, I never ever considered dismissing anyone that way. For me, it was always, I felt if I had to go down that route, honestly, that I'd lost the battle and I'd given up. That's what I grew up with, and that's what my mentality was and still is to a point. Is that you felt like you've given up, and that's your only way. It's the only way to be able to get this person out and to win a game. And that for me is just resorting to something that just would never came into my mind. Again, that's just this. That's me. That's what I grew up with. That's the generation. Majority of cricketers. That's their mentality. So again, it's just going to take some time for us to be able to get our heads around it and get on with it.
And as a modern day coach, what is the discussion you'd have around a dismissal like this in a dressing room?
I'd be saying no Unless someone obviously feels very strongly about it, an individual, and that's, again, it's totally their call. If they feel that they're comfortable doing it, then again, it's in the rules and it's in the law, so they can do it. But I certainly would never be encouraging it at all. My encouragement would be let's beat them in our own way by skill. And if you lose on the day, then that's okay as well. If you're beaten by a better team or you're just slightly off, then that's fine. But I certainly would never be encouraging it. Even though that's the rule and that's the law.
And if one of the players you were coaching actually went ahead and dismissed somebody like that, would you personally reprimand them? What would be your reaction to something like that?
It's the law now. Everyone can interpret exactly how they want. I certainly wouldn't be reprimanding someone in the team if they felt very strongly about it, because it is very much, well, not down the middle, but the people who believe that it's obviously the law and that's how it is, so abide by the law, then they're very strong on that thought, and that's absolutely cool because it is the law. So if someone just felt really strongly about that's okay and that's fine, then I certainly wouldn't reprimand it because it's totally their call, but I certainly wouldn't be encouraging it.
Quick segue to happier days. We are taking a walk down memory lane to talk about some of the greatest moments from T20 World Cups of the past. I have about 6 moments here with me. I'm going to read them out to you and you have to rank them in ascending order and tell me why you've picked that particular order for the moments. All right, so I'll just read them all out to you. First is Netherlands beating England in 2009. The second one is Yuvraj Singh's 6 sixes versus Stuart Broad. Then there's Michael Hussey's unbeaten 60 in the 2010 semi-final. There's Carlos Brathwaite's remember the name moment. There's MS Dhoni's last ball run out versus Bangladesh. And Shaheen Shah Afridi's bowling performance versus India back in 2021.
That is a trip down the memory lane, even just going through all those images and visions of seeing those moments or being a part of them was something. Yeah, it's very cool. Okay, so for me, I'd say the one that stands out to me is something that every young cricketer dreams of, is doing what Carlos Brathwaite did in that World Cup final, that last over. Hitting 19 off the last over, facing Ben Stokes, who is bowling, you know, can bowl very good death bowling as well, to be able to hit 3 sixes back to back and just close out the game. And then Ian Bishop's amazing words. Remember that name, how good. He nailed that moment as well. That's just something as every kid, every cricketer dreams of, being that man, being the man, like Carlos Brathwaite was. So yeah, that's that's number one for me. Number two is, so fortunate to be a part of Mike Hussey, that game, Australia, that we beat Pakistan. We were way out of it. Mike Hussey came in, got 60 off 24 balls. Especially against Syed Ajmal, who was at the peak of his powers on a wicket that was turning a little bit as well. That was something very special. Unfortunately, we couldn't capitalise. I think that was really our World Cup final. The emotions had outpoured after that game. Then we just we got beaten easily by England in the final. So that for me is number two. Number three, Yuvraj Singh, 6 sixes in the first T20 World Cup as well. You know, no one, again, every batter dreams of being able to hit 6 sixes, and off the quality of Stuart Broad as well. Yuvi, that's just how good that guy was and is, just that ball striking ability. Number four, Shaheen Shah Afridi. That spell against India was just something so special to be able to just knock over the best players in the world just with those balls was outrageously good. The next one for me is MS Dhoni. broke the poor Bangladeshi's hearts by showing his true speed and athleticism, just to be able to stay so calm and cool under pressure and not underarm it and just take out the stumps, and the Bangladeshi batsman to be out just by a bit was typical MS Dhoni style, just to sort of get the job done. Of course, England losing to the Netherlands, that's always as an Aussie, it's always good to be able to see in a big event. And the Netherlands, that was an amazing effort at Lords, at the home of cricket as well, was an amazing effort. But again, all those memories that we're talking about, it's just all those visions of it just flashback straight away. Special times.
Fantastic. And finally, before we let you go, we want some predictions from you for the upcoming T20 World Cup. The first one of those being, who do you think is going to be the winner of that tournament and why?
Australia. And not because I'm biased, just because they played so well at the back end of the last T20 World Cup. They're playing at home. They know the conditions better than anyone. They suit all the cricketers, Aussie cricketers, are suited to these conditions. It's more of a challenge for some of the other teams coming with the, especially the bigger grounds and the faster and bouncier wickets. So for me, it's a huge advantage. And the Australian squad hasn't, and the team won't change much at all from the team that won the last T20 World Cup. So there's no real personnel changes. So I think the only addition is potentially Tim David, who's only going to add more value to the Aussie team. So they're going to be hard to beat.
Who do you think is going to be the top run scorer of the tournament?
Top run scorer? I'm saying Dave Warner. For me, he's got to continue to have a point to prove. In Australian conditions, he batted so well in the last T20 World Cup when so many people wrote him off. But the skill of this guy, and he's fresh, he's going to be ready to go. Top order batter, yeah, he's going to be hard to stop.
Who's picking up the most wickets?
Most wickets. I'm going with spin. I'm going to go with two in particular. I think they'll be the leading wicket takers. One will be Adam Zampa. He's bowling very, very well. It's going to be harder for batters through that middle period to be able to really take on the bowlers and with the bigger boundaries. So him and Axa Patel, my Delhi Capitals mate, he's bowling so well. He's a wicket taker. He doesn't go for many runs as well. In Australian conditions, they're going to really suit him the way he bowls, the ball skidding on in particular with his angle that he presents. So I reckon Axa's in for a really, really big T20 World Cup.
Who's hitting the most sixes?
Gosh, I'm going to go with Mitchell Marsh. Hopefully he's fit and firing, but batting at number three, and he's someone who just hits the ball, gosh, so hard, so far. And he's taken the game on from ball one as well. So he's given himself a great chance. He's not really taken any balls to get set. So he's given himself a big chance of hitting the most sixes. And the other one is Hardik Pandya. Oh my gosh, he is just... I know he was always very good. He was always very good and a very good power hitter. But now, coming even in the middle overs, my goodness. And the Australian wickets, I think, are going to really suit him down to the ground as well with his technique and the way he hits the ball. So, whew. Look out, bowlers.
Which bowler is going to take the first hat-trick of the tournament?
I'm going with Mitchell Stark. He's just, especially when he's up and going and he's on with the ball, his ability just to be able to knock over batsmen, especially not the top-line batters, the ones just not top-line, his ability to be able to just get them out, just bowl them in particular, is something that I haven't really seen much before. So I think if he's on song, then he's my man to get the first hat-trick.
And one youngster, who you think is going to be one to watch out for?
This guy's still a youngster, but it seems like he's been around for quite a while now, is Nassim Shah. Got the speed that he bowls, you can swing him both ways. Australian conditions, I think, are going to really suit him as well with the pace and bounce in the wickets. So he's only 19. It seems like he's been around for ages, but he's a superstar with the skill that he's got and the pace that he bowls at. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in Australian conditions.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on another edition of the ICC Review. As always, fantastic insight, and we can't wait to see you at the T20 World Cup.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's coming up very quickly. It's always a pleasure to touch you, Sanjana. We'll be right back.